Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. It is a nice, as Mother Valerie will give you the weather report in just a moment. I just want to say thanking God. The enemy is busy, and this morning, you know how that spirit of distraction will come in and try to knock you off your grill, try to knock you off your square. You know, this morning is, you know, this is my last week for a call that I do at 6 a.m. 3 days a week. And today, you know, is next to the last day I'll be able to do it because it will start to conflict as daylight saving times happens on Sunday. So, again, just a reminder to everyone, daylight savings time starts this Sunday. So make sure that you move your clock forward. Hallelujah. Or backwards or wherever it is. But you know you got to change your clock this weekend. And so it's moving forward. And so what is now a 6 o'clock call for them, for us, will be a 7 o'clock call, which will interfere with what we do. So I won't be able to do it anymore. But I'm grateful that I have had these months being able to get on and to pray for my family, to pray for all of you, to just put in a prayer request with some powerful women of God and men of God, thanking God for just being who he is, awesome and mighty and great. You know, God loved us so much that he gave his life, gave his son for us. What a mighty God we have. We just, whew. Oh, Lord God, I just can't say it enough, but thank you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you for your love, God. God loves us, and we can't do anything but tell God, thank you. Can you join me in telling God, thank you this morning. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for just being awesome and mighty and a loving Father. And a word for this morning from our 365 days of prayer. Greater meaning. If a man has 100 sheep, but one of the sheep got lost, he will leave the other 99 on the hill and go to look for the lost sheep. And that's Matthew 18 and 12 from the NCV. Good Shepherd, you are the caretaker that exists. You lead and guide us as your collective people, but you also pursue us individually. When I wander here, you come looking for me. You won't let me fall into a trap or get caught in the enemy's lair. You are better than that. Lord, in my wandering, keep bringing me back to to the foe in the same way. When I see my brothers and sisters wandering away from your love, may I gently redirect them, reminding them of the goodness of the shepherd who is coming to meet them. Your ways are so much better than my own. If left to my own devices, I'd be caught in a cycle of self-serving adventure seeking. I would leave others to their own as well. Thank you for being a good leader with a watchful eye. You know the moment when I've started drifting. Keep my heart tuned to yours that I would know your goodness all the days of my life. And our question for this morning is, do you trust that God sees you when you wander and that he will rescue you? And our word for this morning, coming out of the book of Mark, is, for he who is not against us is on our side. Hallelujah. But he who is not against us is on our side. Jesus gave his life because he's on our side. We can do nothing more than tell God, thank you for being on our side. Thank you for loving us more than we can love our own self. Thank you for being a God of grace and mercy. Thank you for being a God who loves his children. Father God, we come before you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up your word, God, putting your word into the atmosphere, Lord. And we're asking you, Father God, to increase as we decrease, Lord, as we ask every day. Father God, forgive us for anything we've done, anything we said, anything that has been against your divine majesty. Father God, we ask for forgiveness this morning and ask you, Lord God, to increase as we decrease, Father God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. You, Lord God, are our redeemer. And we lift up your holy word, that it goes into the atmosphere, Lord, that someone who needs a word from you to minds all over this planet, God, that those that may only be able to listen to your words, Lord God, may it touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch their spirits. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, good morning, Mother Valerie. I pray all is well with you.
Amen. Good morning, Pastor. All is well.
Whew.
Like you say, it's well
I'm
with
my
soul.
I'm all filled up, Mom. I'm all filled up. You know, there's nothing like starting your day with prayer and nothing like ending your day with prayer. Hallelujah, because prayer changes all kind of things. I believe that in my core. I believe that in my spirit, prayer changes all kind of things. And this morning, family, as I get ready to turn it over to Mother Valerie, we are going to be coming out of the book of Numbers, and we'll be in chapter 9 and 10 with life lessons. Our psalm this morning is the 31st psalm, verses 6 through 10. Our proverb is Proverb 11, verses 7 through 11. And we will be in Mark chapter 9 again this morning, verses 30 through 50. And so, and our title is coming out of the book of Mark. And again, this morning, for those that are just joining us, he who is not against us is on our side. Hallelujah. Thanking God for being on our side this morning. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you.
Good morning. Good morning, people of God. This is today the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. The temperature today is 38 degrees. It will be cool, but it's going to warm up. It'll get better, maybe up to 51. So around about 12 noon, 1 o'clock, it'll be better. Coming out of Numbers 9 and 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year, after they had came out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time." And the Passover means when the Lord passed over the children of Israel's house that had the blood on the door, and he killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, but he passed over the children of Israel. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you should keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you should keep it. So Moses told the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover over on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So the children of Israel did. Now there was a certain man who was defiled by a human course, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day. They came before Moses and Aaron that day. And those men said to him, "We became defiled by a human course. Why are we kept from presenting the offering of the Lord at its appointed time among the children of Israel?" Moses said to them, "Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if any one of you or your posterity is unclean because of a course or is far away on a journey, he may still keep the Lord's Passover. On the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it. They should eat it with unleavened bread, bitter herbs. They should leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they should keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and ceases to keep the Passover, that same person shall be cut off from among his people. Because he did not bring the offering of the Lord at his appointed time, that man shall bear his sin. If a stranger dwells among you and will keep the Lord's Passover, he must do so according to the rite of the Passover and according to his ceremony. You should have one ordinance both for the stranger and the native of the land. Now on that day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony, from evening until morning. It was above the tabernacle like the appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained in camp. Even when the cloud continued long many days above the tabernacle, children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain in camp. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning. When the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days a month or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, children of Israel would remain in camp and not journey. But when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained in camp, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Chapter 10. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Make two silver trumpets for yourself. You should make them of hammered work. You should use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camp. When they blow both of them, the congregation should gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the head of the divisions of Israel, should gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camp that lies on the east side shall then begin their journey. when you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow their trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generation. When you go to war in your land against the enemy to oppress you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your month, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and the sacrifice of your peace offerings. It shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. Children of Israel set out from the wilderness of Sinai on a journey. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses. The standards of the camp of the children of Judah set out first according to their armies. Over their armies were Nashon, the son of Amminadab. Over the armies of the tribe of the children of Issachar were Nathan, the son of Zar. And over the army of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Elab, the son of Helon. Then the tabernacle was taken down, and the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set out carrying the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set out according to their armies. Over their armies were Ethan, the son of Shuba. Over the armies of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Simeon, the son of Zubah. And over the armies of the tribe of the children of Gad, Esphah, the son of Dua. Then the Kohenites set out carrying the holy things. The tabernacles would be prepared for their arrival. And the standard of the camp and the children of Ephraim set out according to their armies. Over their armies was Ishmael, the son of Amadou. Over the armies of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamali, the son of Pedaz. And over the children of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abadad, the son of Gideon. Then the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, the rear guard of all the camps set out according to their armies. Over their armies was Ahab, the son of Amasad. Over the armies of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pegah, the son of Elkam. And over the armies of the tribe of the children of Natalia was Ahab, the son of Eadjan. Thus was the order of the march of the children of Israel, according to their armies, when they began their journey. Now Moses said to Hophni, the son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are setting out for the place in which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. And he said to him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my relatives. So Moses said, please do not leave, inasmuch as you know how we are to camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. And it shall be, if you go with us, indeed it shall be that whatever good the Lord will do to us, the same we will do to you. So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them for the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was, whenever the ark set out, that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. God is good. God was with them by day. God was with them by night. Life lessons, number 10 and 10. In the day of your gladness, a close relationship with God always brings gladness. We must take care that we do not so focus on duty that we overlook the equal call to joy. Numbers 10, 29. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. Generosity of spirit always accompanies a matured saint of God. Godly believers understand that God blesses them so that they might bless others. God blesses us, indeed, so that we may bless other people. You can't keep it all to yourself. Life lessons, number 9 and 8. Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. Despite his exalted leadership position, Moses did not presume to speak for the Lord when the Lord had not spoken to him. He, like all of us, must continually listen for the voice of God. Numbers 9:23. At the command of the Lord, they remain in camp, and at the command of the Lord, they journey. How blessed we would be if we would go when the Lord told us to go and stay when the Lord told us to stay. Obedience is always essential to everything we do in life, and it always brings blessing. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. When we obey God, then, you know, sometimes you want to go to the left, God say go to the right, and you go to the left and you might have an accident. So obey God. Obedience is always better, much better than sacrifice. God is a great God and he's good all the time. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Great word, Mother. Thank you so very, very much. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, Pastor Jesse preached a message on following the cloud, and that is what our God wants us to do, is follow as he leads us. Because he, in the word of God is our prayer this morning, 99 won't do for God. He will come after his lost sheep, and he wants us to come. It says, come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. God is generous, and he loves us, and his promises he always keeps. His promises, as they say, you can take a promise of God to the bank, because he never lets us down. And this morning, I am coming out of the 31st Psalm, verses 6 through 10. And it says, I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. Come on now. Again, I have hated those who regard useless idols. It's something that is man-made. It's man-made. Somebody sculpted it. Somebody molded it. Somebody took it and made it by hand, by man. It's not made. It's not like our God. Not man-made. Come on now. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. I like to say God has placed me in my lighted square. And I love this fact. We have to repent. We talked about that this morning. We have to repent. And we have to say like David, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eyes waste away with grief. Been there. Had that. Still going through some things. My soul and my body. But my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. David prayed to God all the time. Jesus prayed, and we got to pray too. And as we go into our proverb word this morning, it says when a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. The righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. We're seeing it every day in this political stuff that's going on. Folks just tearing each other up with their mouths when we need to be quiet and keep our tongues behind our teeth. If you can't tell the truth, don't say anything at all. Folks just lying for lying's sake and have people all twisted up and confused and hating each other. Families can't even have Christmas together anymore because of political nonsense. And it's not of God. That is not of God. It says that when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. Hallelujah. And I love this. I got to go back to verse number 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. Through knowledge, we got to read. We got to study. We got to know the word of God. Knowledge is power. And it says that when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is jubilation. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. A mouth, a tongue, can create a fire of confusion. All you need is someone who can tell people what they want to hear. They become everything. Folks just want to follow them. It becomes an idolatrous relationship. And we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up that it becomes idolatry. I love my pastor, but I know I cannot put my pastor on a pedestal and start worshiping her, coming to church for her, and not coming to church for God. We got to come to church for God. We got to do what we do for God. We cannot get into idolatry, loving everything and everybody and putting folks on pedestals and forgetting to do what we're supposed to do, which is worship the Lord God Almighty. We don't worship people. We worship God. Churches get destroyed because somebody leaves. Well, it's the person that I follow. What did it say in the Word of God when they started talking about, well, I like Apollo. Well, I follow Paul. That's confusion. And Paul about it. Paul said, not today. Paul didn't play that. You know, when you get caught up in that nonsense, we cannot do it. We got to pray. We got to ask God, show us, Lord. Show us what to do and how to do it. And as we go into our chapter on Mark chapter 9, verses 30-5, and it says, then they departed from there and passed. And passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to him, The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will raise the third day. But they did not understand this thing and were afraid to ask him. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed amongst yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road, they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Come on now. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all, the servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. He let them know, I did not come here by myself. God sent me. My Father sent me through a woman so I could experience being a man, knowing what you know, feeling what you feel. Jesus came for us to take our sins to the cross in this month. We know we will celebrate the resurrection. It is a celebration, and that's how we should look at it. So many times we see so much sadness on Resurrection Sunday. We've become so secular with the little bunny rabbits and the chocolates and everything but Jesus. And we got to get back to what it's about. It's a celebration of a resurrected Savior who loves us. Hallelujah. It is not about a Easter bunny and chocolate eggs. Come on now. Hallelujah. Jesus, let them know me and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Now, John answered him saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbid him because he does not follow us. Come on now. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. But he who is not against us is on our side. That's our word for today. Well, they're Baptists. They're not our same denomination, because we're a Methodist and we're a Presbyterian, and they are a Lutheran. So, you know, they are everything. Well, they're Kojic, you know, but I'm Church of the Living God. So but they're talking about Jesus, and how can they be talking about Jesus? Because they're not with us. That's a lot of nonsense. Denominations divide, but we know who we are. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we all preach the gospel message of Christ. Whether your title is Lutheran, Baptist, Kojic, non-denominational, or whatever it is, we still teach the same Jesus, that he died, that he rose from the dead, that he sits on the right hand of the Father, that we all believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus said, for he who is not against us is on our side. If we're all preaching and teaching salvation through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what denomination you are. Hallelujah. Because we're still all one in the sight of God. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame rather than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm, everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. We got to have peace with one another. We cannot allow all the foolishness of politics, of denominational religion, to tear us apart from being united with Christ. We've got to love each other. Families should love each other. We should love our brothers and our sisters, and it should not matter what they look like on the outside. If they got pink hair and love Jesus, you love them with him, and you love them with them. Get out of the judgy spirits and start coming into loving each other, because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. As we judge, we will be judged. And we got to be who we are, one united with Jesus. For he who is not against us is on our side. Love God. Love your brothers and your sisters. And get out of foolishness. Because we all, each and every one of us, has to stand before Jesus. Each and every one of us has to give accounting of how we behaved. I can't give an account of Mother Valerie, and Mother Valerie can't give an account of me. She can only give an account of myself. And I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And as we go into the life question for the word this morning, who's first? It says, do you serve for the good of others, or do you serve for yourself? Are you doing what you do because God assigned you the task, or are you doing it because it makes you look good? Come on now. This may seem a strange line of questions, but it's a subject that confronts every Christian at one point or another. Even the disciples struggled with their desires to be the greatest in the kingdom. Mark 9:34. Yet Jesus was always quick to remind them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all the servants of all, and the last shall be first. Don't get it twisted. Unfortunately, we sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that we can measure the success of what we're doing the same way the world measures achievement. We mistakenly believe that if God receives glory from our service, then it should be glorious for us as well. Yet when we remember some of God's faithful servants from the Bible, we realize their situations were far from easy or glamorous. Come on now. God allowed Job to suffer the loss of his children, his health, and everything he owned, to the point that his wife told him to curse God and die. And he had to tell a woman, you sound foolish. What? You know, we're going to be all with God when we got prosperity and everything is going well. But when things are going hard, we want to act like we don't know God. Come on now. Told Isaiah to be barefoot and naked. Come on now. For 3 years as a judgment against Egypt and Ethiopia. You think about this. God tells you to take off your clothes and go barefoot? Come on now. God commanded Ezekiel to lie on his side a day for every year of iniquity found in Israel and Judah. He was also to prepare his food using cow dung as fuel. Come on. I'm cooking my food over cow dung. Cow poop is what I'm using for fuel. And I got to lay on my side 365. And then I got to turn over and lay on my side for some more years. Come on to your year. You know, these guys went through. They went through. We are blessed beyond measure that we don't go through like they went through. You think about it. If you were running around naked today, you would be in jail. You would be in jail. And we all know, if you've ever worked with seniors or worked in facilities, if somebody lays on one side for a long period of time, they will get bed sores. They will have situations, and they will get sick. They will get sick. And yet, Ezekiel, who was told to lay on his side, to lay on his side for all those days because of the sin of others. We are blessed beyond measure that we don't have to do those things. You know, we don't have to do it. You know, I looked online and it said, what is the significance of Ezekiel laying on his side? And this is what, you know, probably an AI said. What is, and it says, as almost all commentators observed, the introduction of the house of Judah in 4 and 6 of Ezekiel is pivotal to the problem at hand. Up until this point, the instruction that Ezekiel is to lie on his side for 390 days to symbolize the guilt of the house of Israel is relatively straightforward. 390 days on one side. That's some stuff. But they did it. God instructed Hosea to marry a prostitute. He had to marry Gomer, trying to get back out there and prostitute, to the point where he had to buy her back from slavery. And it says God sent his only son to die naked on the cross for our sins. Of course, most often God will call us to do those mundane things that seem so unimportant, that don't benefit us in any way. As Jesus said in Mark 9:41, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. These are the simple acts that show compassion toward other people and which display the character of Christ. They are not done for any personal gain. Rather, they are done out of an overflow of Christ's love in us. We got to love each other. We got to care about each other. If I give you a drink of water, I'm giving it to you from my heart, not because I want something back. And I love it. It says, friend, this is what Dr. Stanley calls us. He said, friend, the reason you serve God is not for the sake of your name, reputation, or even your income. The reason you serve God is to be obedient to God, to show his love to a lost world. So whenever you go to do something in his name, check your motives. Are you doing it for his kingdom or for yourself? As you, are you putting yourself first or last? And that is our word for this morning. Woo, what a word. God is in charge, and when we let him be in charge, when we set ourselves down and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, I know a lot of people are on social media to make money. I don't get paid for this show. I pay for this show. And I don't ask for donations to do it. I do it because this is my assignment from God. And I do it because I love God. And in my heart, God has said, my word must go forth. And I thank God every day for my friend Diane Grimble, well, Diane Shaw, prophetess, who started me on this journey. I love God enough that I'm still on it because God is so good like that. We got to love God from our whole heart, not half heart, not because I want to be seen and I want to be known. If I wanted to be seen, I would be on Facebook. I'd be on YouTube. I'd be out there, you know, blogging besides here. So everybody can see my face and know who I am. That's not why I do this. I do this to put the word of God into the atmosphere because that's my assignment. And I love God like that. I get emotional when I think about how good God has been in my life and how good he has been to me, to my family. Yes, we go through and we don't talk about it, but we know that God will provide. And he does. We've got to learn, what he say, for he who is not against us is on our side. We got to get out of the foolishness of this world and come back under what God says to. Are you doing what the Lord called you to do? As a song says, what would you do? What would you do when the Lord calls you? You know, will you dance? Will you sing? Will you shout? What will you do when the Lord calls you? Hallelujah. We got to get out of foolishness and divisiveness. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High, and we all have assignments. Whatever you do in the name of Jesus, do it for his glory. Hallelujah. Do it for his honor. Do it to praise him. Hallelujah. I come to praise him. I come to praise his name. We got to have that in our spirit. Who are you with today, family? Are you on the Lord's side? Where will you stand? Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, I'm going to stand on the Lord's side. I'm running. I'm running through the narrow gate. As you practice the rapture jump, I'm practicing being thin. I'm thin. I'm making it through this gate. I'm going to suck it all in so I can make it in. Hallelujah. I ain't trying to get through the wide gate. I'm trying to go through that little narrow gate. And I know my name is written in the book. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you. And it's a new name that only God knows for me. And as Sister Carolyn told us this morning, when you put your trust in Jesus, he will make everything all right. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Are you putting your trust in Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. All I got to do is shout out to Genesis and the upper room. Thank you, Prophetess Kim. You took me to the throne this morning. I am grateful. And just thanking God for his might and his love and his goodness and his kindness. Thank God today. Praise God today. Lift up the name of Jesus today. Thank you so much. If there is anyone who has a word, Mother Valerie, do you have a word this morning that you just want to share from the lesson?
I'm going back to Numbers 9 and 8, life lesson. Stand still, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. They were talking about clean and unclean, and Moses didn't know what to do, so he said, stand still. He's going to talk to God. It said, despite his exalted leadership position, Moses did not presume to speak for the Lord when the Lord had not spoken to him. He's like all of us, must continually listen for the voice of God. So that's what Moses did. He didn't just assume that he knew what God wanted to say. He said, stand still that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you. We have to wait on God. We do have to wait. It said, wait on the Lord, be of good cheer. Again, I say, wait on God. If God say go to the left, go to the left. If God say go to the right, go to the right. This has been a beautiful lesson. We have to wait.
Amen.
Wait on God.
Wait on the Lord.
God will tell
Mother,
you what to do.
You know what? One thing that I believe is, you know, you have folks say, well, God told me to tell you. I believe that God will tell us first what he wants us to do.
Amen.
And the only thing that someone can give you is a confirmation. But when somebody said, well, God told me, and you know that what they're saying does not sound right for you, that it doesn't like what God has told you, then I think you have to stop and say, well, no, I'm going to wait on the Lord to tell me what he needs me to do. Because sometimes folks like to speak for God when God ain't told them that. You know, we went through all of that in the book of Job. You know, Job's friends, you know, they all wanted to tell Job how bad he was and how he this and that. And, you know, Job said, oh, wait a minute now. You know, let me say what I got to say. And then all these folks talking, and finally God had to come and talk for itself and tell them, each and every one, about themselves.
Amen.
And he restored Job everything. Everything. You know, we go through, but we get through because always there with us. Because he told us, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we can stand on that word. And then he also told us to be strong and courageous, that we are not to walk in fear, but to walk in faith. We got to be faithful, faithful to God, and faithful in our walk. Hallelujah. It is just filled up, Mother. And we got to quit getting caught up in denominational, political, and all the other foolishness of prejudice and bigotry. Well, I don't like him because he's a Caucasian. I don't like him because he's black. I don't like him because he's white. I don't like her because she's Asian. I don't like all of this don't like. What do you like? But yet you want to say, I love Jesus, but I hate my sister, I hate my brother, when we all have come to the conclusion from the word of God that we are family. We all are descendants of Noah. We all are descendants of Adam. We're all descendants of the Most High God because we've been grafted in once we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. When you got saved, the family of God, and all this other stuff is nothing but foolishness.
Amen.
Because if we are for Jesus Christ, we are on his side. But he was not against us as Christians. Is on our side. Keep trusting God. Keep believing and knowing who you belong to. Thank you, Mother Valerie. I appreciate you coming in and helping me and working with me. Hallelujah. Can you tell God your love? The people that come in because God gave them a heart to be of help. Thanking God for this woman of God. Thanking God for all of you who take the time to listen in, to come to church with us, because the church is the word of God. The church is our hearts. The church is us. We got to take it out of the four walls and put it in the atmosphere. So thank God for the four walls, because we still have to come together. So as we come together today, the word of God tells us where two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst, and I believe that our Father is in the midst today. So thank you so much, Mother Valerie. Thank you, family, for listening in. Those that listen live, those that listen later, those that listen on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, thank you so very much for joining us. Thank you for those that listen on the podcast, on Apple Music, and on YouTube, and on all the other medias that you hear our voice. We thank you, and we pray for you. You pray for us. We pray for you because we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it but love God.
Amen.
Like we do. So, Mother Valerie, I just want to tell you and all of you, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of the matchless Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ. We pray for you as you pray for us. We thank God for all of you again. Mother Valerie, pray us out, and then it is a wrap. Again, we say every day now, thank you, Aunt Rita. We love you. We miss you. But we know that you are with the Most High. We thank you for wrapping us up. Mother Valerie, pray us out. Family, thank you again for listening in. We love you. And there's nothing you can do about it. I say it again. But love Jesus. Love Jesus. Thank him for saving your soul. Mother Valerie, it's on you. Pray us out this morning.
And Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you again. You did it again. The clock didn't wake us up. You did. We thank and praise you for another day to get it right. God, you are a good God. We say hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
hallelujah.
Jesus. And
thank
we praise
you,
your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all that you do, will do, and have done. Lord, we just say thank you, thank you. When you can't say anything else, we can just hallelujah and thank you. Father, bless her as she goes her way to work. Keep her safe. Don't let her work too hard. Bring her back home safe. Let her have traveling mercies. And God, just bless the Table Life Ministries. Bless all the people that are worshiping you. Draw the people that need to be drawn toward you because we know that we're living in end times. And God, thank you for covering us, keeping us safe. And we will give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it. We are grateful, God. We are grateful. We are grateful. We really are grateful. For you are God, and you are a good God. We're thankful, God, for another day. We praise you. We love you. And we bless you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen, Mother. Guess what? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
Please join Mother Valerie and myself again tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. Tell a friend, text a friend, give them the number 213-943-3597. Join us tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. God willing. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.